Lord, we praise you now, and we ask that you anoint with your Holy Spirit, anoint Pastor Perry as he preaches this morning. We ask, Lord, that you just help us open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to the message that you have before us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Robin. Appreciate that. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? No matter what. We'll praise him no matter what. That's right. All right. Well, we are looking at the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, going verse by verse, and we continue today. You heard the story read earlier. Jesus calming the storm. And the title for today is Calm in the Storm. Chippy the parakeet, Max Lucado writes, never saw it coming. One second, he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next, he was sucked up, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. You know what? She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it into the cage. The phone rang, and she turned to pick it up. She barely said hello when Chippy got sucked in. The bird owner, don't worry, the bird's fine. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced into the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who'd initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she said, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. Well, it's not hard to see why. Sucked up, washed up, blown over, that's enough to steal the song from any person, no matter how strong they might be, right? Sure does, a country song. But we all have the storms of life, and even Jesus did. Not just the day he was crucified, but there was one day in particular, in Matthew 14, talks about that Jesus had one of those days, and the day started off with the news that his cousin, John the Baptist, was killed, was beheaded. And so he no sooner had heard that, and he was going off to the boat to be alone, he thought, with his father. And then all his disciples came back, and they all wanted to talk to Jesus at the same time. Have you ever had that happen? Oh, I got to talk to you. I need to talk to you. No, I need to talk to you. Will you listen to me? Oh, one at a time, one at a time. So all the disciples had come back from their missionary activities, all excited what God had done. What Jesus, sure enough, Jesus' words are true. Demons were bowing down in the name of Jesus, and only in the name of Jesus, and they were being healed in the name of Jesus, and this whole new kingdom of God was happening in exciting fashion. The disciples had to tell their master immediately, and they had to be first. Of course, Peter was probably the first that had to talk, right? So that was going on, and then Jesus had all this, and then he's finally going to have some calm, and then there's thousands of people coming over the hillside to see Jesus, and they all needed Jesus. They all wanted to be healed. On and on it went for that whole day. And it was just one of those crazy days where he had many demands on his life. And everybody needed something from Jesus. But nobody in the Bible there, do you read anywhere, somebody says, Jesus, what do you need? How can I serve you? It's always, God, give me this, give me that. I need you, I need you. I want this, I want that. And you know what? We fathers like to sometimes hear from our kids, not just, Dad, can I have? Every now and then, it's nice to hear, Dad, I love you, or Dad, thank you, or what can I do for you, Dad? Especially on Father's Day, might be a good idea, right? But anyway, Jesus had one of those days. And maybe you've had one of those days, and you know I'm going through a storm of my own right now, and it seems to be getting worse and not better, but God is in the middle of the storm no matter where we go, right? And in our text for today, it talks about that very thing, because Jesus, it's interesting, it's Jesus' idea to go into the storm. Because he says, let us go over to the other side. Jesus being God, knowing everything, knows exactly what's going to happen, right? So they go off in the boat, and sure enough, it happens. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Have you ever seen that TV show, The Greatest Catch? I feel guilty ever since that show, Eating Crab Legs. I mean, they had to go through all that just so I can have some crab legs. I mean, I really don't have to have them to cause all that trouble, people almost dying just so I can have crab legs. Like, it's amazing the bravery and what they have to go through, and those ice cold waves almost swallowing up that boat, and like the movie The Perfect Storm. You know, I think about, I do not like water at all that much. Maybe a little bit of water, I can look at it, but if I'm in it and it's overwhelming, no, thank you. I'm not a water person. But anyway, the disciples were water people. They were fishermen, so they're used to it. But this storm was different, and they were getting scared out of their wits because the water is coming into the boat and it's nearly swamping the boat. And it says Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. Jesus had been preaching a lot, and it's exhausting to be doing church work. I love my preacher nap on Sunday afternoons. I tell you, I've got to have it, and I'm not much for one going out to dinner after the Spanish service. I got to have my nap, and then I'm raring to go Sunday night. But Sunday afternoons, you call me, hello. Is this Pastor Perry? Yes. Are you okay? Yes. Can I call back in an hour and a half? But anyway, Jesus was asleep on the boat after all this ministry, serving all these people. He's asleep while this storm breaks. Now think about the storms either you're going through or have gone through. Are there ever times when you're going through a storm that you feel like maybe Jesus is asleep and he doesn't care? Am I the only one who feels that? No? Okay, like, hello God, remember me? And where are you? Why are you taking so long? But is God's timing the same as ours? Certainly isn't. Well, I'm pointing that out. And you think, okay, God, you're going to move now, right? I'm still preparing things. I'm still getting things ready. God loves to do that. And another story of another storm with the disciples. The disciples were in a boat, and it was very windy. And there, Jesus said, I'll be there later. And Jesus didn't show up right away. And it's almost 3 o'clock in the morning, and there's no Jesus. And it's getting kind of crazy. And now Jesus does show up, but he's walking on the water. And it freaked them out. They thought they were seeing a ghost. They said, oh no, who has their video for this one? There's a ghost out there in the water. We got to capture this on film. Holy cow, what's going on? And Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's I, walking on the water. And then Jesus didn't show up when they thought he should have. God always does things differently. Well, the storms that we have can cause all kinds of different reactions. And the Bible is very honest in the way we react. We're not perfect. Even David, as we found out in our Psalms Bible study, would ask questions like, God, what's going on? For instance, and this is the great man after God's own heart asked in Psalm 10, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? He talks about it's not fair, God. How come the wicked thrive? Where are the righteous? He cries out over and over, and then he calms down, he quiets himself with his music, and then he says, oh yeah, that's right, God is on the throne. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to be afraid, right? He says, I guess I can trust you. God says, yeah, you can trust me. Father knows best. I'm your daddy, and I will take care, right? Well, when God is quiet, how do you handle quiet? First of all, how do you handle when you don't feel his presence, when it's a dark night of the soul? Trust him anyway, right? Get in his word, pray anyway. What about if you don't hear from God right away? Keep trusting, right? Keep trusting and believing. Absolutely. Even the Apostle Paul, he writes that he was waiting to find Titus, and he went to a certain town and he couldn't find Titus. And he said he had no peace of mind, and he even left that area to find Titus. And then he says, God who leads us in triumphal procession led me to find him. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 1 says that he, even Paul, despaired even of life, but all this happened so that he might rely on him who raised the dead. Even Paul got to that point of, okay, God, I have to trust you. I have to trust you. So what happens here in the boat? What happens in the storm? Does Jesus just keep sleeping and they all perish and die? Jesus can't die, right? Because what is his mission in life? It's to die, but not in a boat, right? It's to die on a cross. Not a wooden boat, but a wooden cross. So he knows his destiny and his mission is later on to die for the sins of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. By grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift that Jesus Christ, and only he gives, as the Son of God, God and man together, God in the flesh, and he offers it, right? That's the gospel. But Jesus has to die on a cross. So is Jesus going to drown in a boat prematurely? So if I'm a disciple, I think, I guess I better hang close to Jesus. So if I were a disciple, I'd run over to Jesus, grab his robe, get as close to Jesus as I could, because if I'm with Jesus, I'm going to be okay. And the same for us today, right? If we are close to Jesus, we're going to be okay. We tried to sing that in a mighty fortress, right? That we have one champion, Jesus Christ, who came into the battle. And there's a song that's on Caleb. I've been listening to Caleb a lot. And it talks about, it's like the hero comes into the stage at the last minute and saves the day. Comes in and saves the day. That's Jesus Christ, right? Right, Donna? Yes, thank you. That we have joy. We can actually smile about that. Be excited about it. And we have a Savior, right? A risen Savior. He is risen. This isn't just for Easter Sunday. This week, every Sunday should be Resurrection Sunday. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. But we have to stay close to Jesus. And we talk a lot about the presence of God here. In Celebrate Recovery, we talk about the presence of God. We talk about serenity. What is serenity? It's the peace. Where we practice the principles of Celebrate Recovery, that Jesus Christ is our higher power, and that Jesus Christ gives us peace over the addictive agents that might be alcohol or drugs or work or achievement or success or money or overspending or control, having to control people, food addictions, sexual addictions, approval dependency, rescuing patterns toward other persons, dependency on toxic relationships, physical illness, exercise, physical conditioning, cosmetics, clothes, surgery, trying to look good on the outside, academic pursuits, excessive intellectualizing, religiosity, religious legalism, with a preoccupation on the form and the rules and regulations of religion rather than benefiting from the real spiritual message of a relationship with Christ. General perfectionism, cleaning and avoiding contamination and other obsessive compulsive symptoms. Organizing, structuring, the need to always have everything in place and control. Materialism, on and on it goes. All these can rob us of our serenity. Not to mention worry and anxiety. And so, how do we find serenity? One person in one place, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, right? He said, not us. It's not exclusive religion. It's an exclusive person in Jesus Christ. So anyway, we have this person in the boat. The disciples have him in the boat. We've got him in our boat with us. That's why he's called Emmanuel, God with us. And because we have God's presence, and what is God's presence? Do you experience his presence? It's amazing, isn't it? When you sense his presence, and that peace that comes over us is amazing. We sit in his presence and we worship, and you can just feel that presence and the glory of God falling down and coming into our souls. And then we leave with a spring in our step. There's something different when we leave than when we come in, right? Whether it be Celebrate Recovery or whatever, we leave different than we came in. And if there's no change, there's something wrong, right? We're just going through religious motions and ritual. But when the presence of God comes, Francisco Bella Botticelli, I can't say her name right, talks about, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Come and fill the atmosphere, right? He changes it. When Holy Spirit comes in the room, Jesus Christ comes in the room, you know it. And everything changes. The atmosphere changes. The tone changes. The mood changes. The love and the power, the joy, the hope, the forgiveness all increases. And the worries and fears decrease, right? When God comes in, he changes everything. And so look what happens in this boat when Jesus gets up. What does he say? He says literally in the Greek, put a muzzle on it. Shut up. Really, that's what the Greek is. To the waves and the storm. Knock it off. Peace. Be still. There's power in the name of Jesus. Power in his presence. Power in who he is. And only him. And when he says something, it happens, right? Let there be light, there was light. peace, there is peace. On Easter Sunday, he appeared to his disciples and he said, what did he say to them? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Shalom. Wholeness. Total deliverance. Peace. We talked about peace Wednesday night at Bible study. We weren't sure. We had the world's quickest movie, about 5 minutes left. So we said, what do we do now? So we looked at the fruit of the Spirit and looked at some of the Greek words and had a little discussion and discovery of the fruit of the Spirit. And one of them is peace. And the peace is not the absence of calm. It's in the middle of the calm. It's like the picture I mentioned Wednesday. There's this portrait of this little bird sitting on a nest. And there's this lightning and dark clouds all around it and cliffs and dangerous mountaintops and all this. And there's this little nest precariously on this ledge like this. And you see this little birdie sitting there with this total look of calm. Only the dove can. Like, I'm okay. That's peace. This little bird's in this nest and feeling totally calm. And we as Jesus followers, and I'm certainly preaching to myself right now, in the middle of some storms, can have the peace that passes understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians 4. I didn't make that up, right? That's not my words. And what that means is literally in the Greek is that we have a guard, a security guard. We have a security guard that comes in and watches guard. Now, when you're over there at Wigwam, what's your role, Charles, over there? Anything ever to make sure that the residents are safe, right, and protected. God sends a sentry guard, a security guard, to guard our hearts and our minds. That is, our emotions, our feelings. He sets guard over that, and he sets guard over our mind. And the helmet of salvation, which is the Word of God, protects our mind and our thoughts. And I'm called, we're called, to put in positive thoughts instead of all the negative garbage. If we start spinning this program in our head over and over again of negativity, I'm lousy, I'm stupid, you're stupid, I don't know what to do, it gets all garbled up, right? But if we change that program with God's Word and promises and what God promises, how He promises to see us through and those storms, that's how we quiet the storms in our lives, right? The Bible says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is kept on you. That's Isaiah 26:3. In Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. What that means is, the literal word in the Greek is umpire. Strike! Powerball! The umpire is the arbitrator. He calls the shots. He says what it is. He makes the decision. It's not like all the teams say, no, I think it's a strike. No, I think it's a ball. What do you think? Let's have a vote. There's one vote, and that's the umpire. Jesus Christ, his peace is our umpire. Should be our umpire. He makes the call. The shalom of God makes the call. Not me. Not you. Other people. Or circumstances or the storm. The storm make the call? Nope. God makes the call and rules our hearts. But the peace of Christ. But we have to let the peace of Christ rule us, right? Through tragedies, and these happened in Ferguson, Missouri. Some wonderful Christian businessmen and women there, too. They're believers that talked about, we're going to trust God. And what a witness of forgiveness in the middle of a storm. There's another storm that happened, and I wanted to talk about this. We're going to sing it a little bit, Lord willing. It is well with my soul. This was it's an old hymn. When peace like a river, and, you know, all that talks about it as well, no matter what's going on, we'll sing it a little bit. You'll see the words, hopefully. Anyway, the author was a very wealthy businessman in Chicago, very wealthy, and very godly man. He dedicated his business to God, which is a good idea to do, and everything he did was for God, right? And so he dedicated everything. He was being blessed just like Job. And just like Job, he lost everything. He lost a son who died, which can be heartbreaking, right? Then, in order to kind of deal with things, he sent his wife and daughter on a cruise, on a ship. Guess what happened to that ship? The ship sank. All four daughters died. So he lost four daughters and a son. His wife did survive. His business collapsed. He lost everything in his business. Now, that's a lot. I thought I had stress. Nothing like that, though. How about you? Stress that much? Well, wait till we sing that hymn. So when we sing that song, think about who wrote those words. In the middle of all that, it would be very tempting to turn away from God. He writes, "It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul." Why? Because Jesus was in the boat with his daughters. Jesus is with him, and he's with you. Well, the disciples, when they finally got their wits back to them, and Jesus calmed the storm there in Mark 4, it says the wind died down and was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Jesus is always looking. He's on a search. The other day, I took 10 garbage bags, kitchen bags of garbage out of my apartment to find things. It was like I had some bachelor pads, floppy bachelor. I had stuff everywhere. And I found things that I hadn't found for a long time. I go, "Oh, wow, it's like I newly discovered stuff. I found this and I found that." And it was kind of nice. Like, "Oh, I can find all this stuff that I thought was lost." Well, God is on a search. He's looking for faith. He says, "Oh, can I go? Oh, I bet if I go to Bruce, I'll find faith." Yep, sure enough. And David, yep, oh, there's faith. And he's looking, and he puts us through the grinder sometimes. And God loves faith so much that he's willing to take the chance on us that we'll lose our faith just to see. And he's like the angels in heaven, all those are rooting, our loved ones in heaven are over the grandstand in heaven going, "Come on, you can do it. God's with you." And watching for our faith to grow in the middle of those storms. And notice this, the disciples, after all this happened, it says instead of them being peaceful, what does it say in verse 41? They were terrified. Why? Because they knew Jesus wasn't a mere man. He was God. And if you're in the presence of God and you're a simple human being, you're going, what? They didn't know what to think of Jesus. They're terrified. And they said, "Even the wind and the waves obey him." The winds and the waves don't obey me, they don't obey you, but they obey God, Jesus Christ, right? What will your response be to those storms? We pray that God will be with us. I wanted to read two more scriptures. One is Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 says, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God." Amen. And then in Psalm 77, David cries out again. He cries out. He says, "I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused. My spirit grew faint." I can relate with that. "You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the days of long ago, the good old days. I remembered my songs of the night. My heart mused, and my spirit inquired, will the Lord reject me forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?" And he said, "To this I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds." And then finally he wrote, and we're going to study this, Lord willing, in about 15 minutes in Bible class, is Psalm 18. And he says, "I love you, O God, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me." That can be addiction, that can be suicide, it can be all kinds of things. "The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called and cried out for the Lord. I cried to God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My voice came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry." And it talks about how he delivered him from all that. And it says that, "You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against the troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." To that we say, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill this place with your presence, Lord Jesus. Forgive us for thinking you're not really doing your job, sleeping away. Forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive me for my lack. Fortify us, strengthen us, because you're the mighty fortress. You are our strength. You are our peace. You are our life. Without you, we're nothing. You are, Jesus, our higher power. And life has become unmanageable. And we are powerless to deal with the problems in our lives or other people's problems. And we can't do it. So, Lord, we turn to you. We turn everything over to you, Jesus Christ. Savior, Lord, we turn it all to you. We ask you to fill us with your peace. You said, my peace I leave unto you. My peace I give unto you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And so, Lord, we ask that we could hear from you today. Hear a word from you, and that word would be to all of us.